Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. You got me, Kevin Hagelin, Corey Majors, the famous Mike Bassick, the soon-to-be more famouser Alec Medford, who has returned. Gentlemen, welcome to the program. How are we doing today?
It's good right now. We haven't had an official announcement about Schottenheimer yet, so.
Kind of horrible for me.
Okay, is it because you lost your headphones?
Yeah.
Or the Schottenheimer thing.
And traffic. For some reason, traffic looks great. Somehow, if you live south of downtown Dallas, there was something going on around 9 o'clock to get to 75.
Okay, but tell your story that the overall time feels less relatable for some people.
So, 7 mile drive from my house here, I believe it is. It took 32 minutes to get here.
Over how long does it usually take you? Because that's not too bad for a
15-ish. Okay. Like, give or take a couple minutes. If it was a Saturday morning, maybe 11 minutes.
Woo.
If it's a normal traffic day, 20 minutes.
Okay.
So, Mike, you don't have your headphones or your earbud pieces.
But as you were saying, they fell out at my house.
My first thought was, well, there's extra headphones right here. And then I went, oh, where are those tiny headphones that Kevin was using? Kevin has new headphones.
That's true.
Have you noticed the gigantic headphones that he has?
For some reason,
it looks normal.
Gigantic headphones on you look very normal.
When did you get these? Was this yesterday?
No, I had them on Monday.
We're 3 days in. We just noticed.
My wife ordered another pair of the same headphones and time to get to work.
All right. Well, I just noticed this. I'm happy for you. Sorry, Mike, but do you need a set of headphones? We have some.
I'm wondering. I went to the diamond factory and I got my wife a new wedding ring.
I really thought you were going to say diamond headphones. I was really excited.
A whole new wedding ring?
Yeah, because we celebrated our 25th wedding anniversary, and it was super awesome. So thank you to the diamond factory. But I'm wondering, like last night, she went to kind of like a friends kind of gathering where they all share their feelings, and then they all feel horrible afterwards, and then they come home.
What?
I think they feel better and everything, but they really just discuss all of their issues, and they are just spent.
They're exhausted.
You know how women are.
Yeah. Okay, PJ Washington, I know.
Appreciate it, PJ.
But I was like, I wonder if they noticed that she has a new wedding ring. So to your point of headphones.
So you're worried it's too positive to get brought up in the group. They're like, hey, that's great. Well, we need to talk about the negative things.
Here's our issues with ourselves and our husbands and our lives.
Okay. So the Chiefs, this is a weird segue. All right, you know what? I'm going to use audio to help me bail out of this. Okay. Give me cut number 4 for the segue into the Chiefs' run at history.
Elway barks the signal, goes back to throw. Now looks to kick off and run. Elway inside the 10 and dives over the 5-yard line.
Great play. Played by John Elway.
Now, that was John Elway with a helicopter touchdown. 8 teams have attempted the three-peat in the Super Bowl era. How many of them do you think you know the precise years?
Oh, I don't. You can't. I don't know years, but I'll go with Cowboys.
Well, Denver, 1999. They tried to.
That is correct.
With Brian Greasy as their quarterback.
That is correct. We will get into the specifics of how a lot of them fell apart.
Cowboys in 94. They get down 21-0 to San Francisco.
Correct.
They are going to either tie the game or take the lead, but Deion pass interferes with Michael Irvin late in the game, and that ended that one. Oh, gosh. So I'm going to guess the Steelers in the 70s, but I'm going to struggle with the year.
So they did it twice in the 70s, 74 and 75, and then 78 and 79.
Okay.
So that's half of
them. Did the Niners have a run? 88? 88
and 89.
And then the Giants won the Super Bowl the next year.
And so you can make a really...
On the Whitney Houston National Anthem?
Oh, of course, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Where
everybody cried?
I think you could... It is an amazing rendition. I think you could make a pretty strong argument that the 1990 49ers came the closest to three-peating, and then the Cowboys were the next closest. But here's what's interesting.
Nobody made the Super Bowl.
No, exactly. Wow. So of those eight, by the way, and so...
Those eight, none of them ever actually got to the big game.
Correct. You can say Super Bowl. It's fine. Three made the conference championship game. The 1990 49ers, the 1994 Dallas Cowboys, and the 1976 Pittsburgh Steelers. Two made the divisional round, and then three missed the playoffs altogether. Though we're going to go down this list, there are some extenuating circumstances with at least two of those. All right, so the first team to give it a shot, Green Bay Packers, they won Super Bowl I, they won Super Bowl II. Like, rock on, they're good to go.
Probably shouldn't have.
And then, that's very fair, and I still think it should be called the Landry Trophy, because but that's a whole different conversation.
Different conversation, for sure.
So, Vince Lombardi retired.
Oh!
When?
After they won Super Bowl II.
Gentlemen, this is a recliner.
I think he's at North Carolina.
No,
right now.
That is Bill Belichick. And I could not have in a million years.
Who's his general manager at North Carolina?
Michael Lombardi.
Yeah, that's Broadus' friend.
He is.
Good point. So I would have never gotten this name in a million years. Phil Bankston is who took over the Green Bay Packers. Well, guess what? They went 6-7-1 and had one playoff win in the next 25 years.
Oof.
So in case you ever wonder, like, was Vince Lombardi that great? This feels like a pretty compelling argument.
It's pretty important.
By the way, there's 864 people on YouTube right now listening to us.
Hey, YouTube.
Or just having a random conversation in the text thing that they're not listening to.
Do you ever, Mike, put random things in the YouTube chat or like something that you think is pertaining to their random conversation and like stir them up?
No, but I'll type something.
Yeah, you should do that right now. All right, 1972, 1973, Dolphins. They go back-to-back, but then in 1974, they lose in the divisional round to Oakland. So,
Kenny Stabler, right? Wasn't it the...
Yes, Kenny Stabler threw four touchdowns.
Yep.
1976, the Steelers. They were rocking and rolling. Their defense was awesome. Unfortunately, their offense couldn't do jack-ass in the AFC Championship game. They're the third team that made it to the championship game. They lost to Oakland 24-7, and John Madden won the Super Bowl.
Well,
so that's how they got ruled out.
How are you going to beat John Madden?
Yeah, and Bo Jackson.
He created the game. He created the video game.
And Howie Long.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Rich Gannon.
No, none of those people were on that team.
Devontae Adams.
Okay, that's way too late. You know that's way too late. The Steelers tried it again. So... The Steelers have the most amazing run because they have four Super Bowls, I think, in 6 years.
Okay.
Yeah. They were good at catching short hops off the ground and making them touchdowns.
That we pretended were miracles.
There's no angle that proves that it's not.
Exactly. But there's no angle that it proves he did caught it because they conveniently crop it where you can't see the field.
Trust me. I've looked at it as close as I can.
Oh, it's an immaculate reception. Immaculate that we convince everyone to get on the same page and delete the footage where it clearly hit the turf. All right. Then
the Pruder film.
The Steelers, there's some similarities.
We're going to see it soon.
The Steelers won in 78 and 79. Then, not so great. They were 9-7 in 1980. Didn't even make the playoffs. Now, the more contemporary teams, and these next two teams are the two teams that got the closest. The 49ers went 14-2 in 1990. Remember, I think this was the second year of George Seifert because Bill Walsh was like, I'm done in 88. And everyone's like, I don't know, dude. Your team's definitely going to win the Super Bowl. And he's like,
Seifert won.
I'm pretty sure in 89. If I'm wrong, I'll accept that. But I think Bill Walsh won three and then was like, I'm good.
And Seifert won two?
And Seifert won.
Because he would have won in 94, right?
Yeah, so he won two. So the 49ers in 1990, they went 14-2. They go up against the Giants. They're winning the game 13-12. And then Joe Montana, by the way, elbow injury, never going to start another game for the 49ers again. But then with a few seconds left, the Giants kick a field goal to win 15-13. And so you can look back at that, I think, and say, Well, the 49ers were the closest. But I know the one that really annoys Corey still to this day. Go ahead and give me cut number three. It's the 1994 Dallas Cowboys. They're probably second closest.
Aikman back to throw it. Intercepted by Eric Davis. And Davis will score for the 49ers.
Now, you're familiar. They fall behind 21-0. It felt like, and I don't know if you guys felt like this at the time, because I know we were all pretty young. It almost felt impossible that the Cowboys were going to lose that game, just because
it felt very possible 5 minutes into it.
Very quickly, they fell behind. But going into the game, I was just like, well, we'll win. Like, we always mow through the Packers at some point in the playoffs, and then we inevitably beat the 49ers, and then we go to the Super Bowl and all that.
It's kind of like you have their number. They can't beat us.
Exactly. And it was a home game, too, right? Ooh,
no, it was,
or that was
San
a road
Francisco.
Game.
Yeah, it was a road.
It went at San Francisco, home at Dallas, at San Francisco.
Okay. And so the Cowboys lost that one, and then the Broncos, John Elway retired. Remember, they're like, this one's for John, and he's like, I'm out. So they started 0-4. With Brian Greasy, they went 6-10, didn't make the playoffs. And then the Patriots got a shot at it, and 0-5.
Didn't quickly, too, I'm not 100% sure, didn't Terrell Davis blow out his knee?
I think that is correct as well.
So if they were relying on Terrell Davis to help out the rookie Brian Greasy, that immediately blew up in their face.
And so that season was a disaster. And then the Patriots were solid, but lost in the divisional round in 2005. And so all of this to say, this is the ninth go-around that somebody has tried for the three-peat, but only the fourth time they've ever been back in the position to be in the championship game, and none of them that have won two straight Super Bowls have ever won in this round. So if the Chiefs, I know it's going to be a great game, but if the Chiefs win this weekend, that will be historic in and of itself.
So I guess San Francisco lost at home in 1990 because they were 14-2.
Correct.
So would this be, if Kansas City loses, they do have the San Francisco 49ers 1990 setup.
Yes.
Where they're at home. The Cowboys had to go on the road to make the Super Bowl. And I'm assuming
maybe. I don't
remember
the Steelers in 76.
Steelers, that was back before anybody was born. So
that is true. Oh, the Steelers, it looks like the Steelers were also on the road. So
okay,
this is the fourth time a team ever going for the three-peat has gotten to this round. Only the second time a team going for the three-peat has had a home game in the championship game. So what Kansas City has done is already super impressive. And it was really fun to go through history and see how quickly some of those teams fell off. Whereas obviously the Cowboys came back the next year and they won a Super Bowl. And so you can easily be like, oh, could we have won four in a row?
Well, Corey, when does it catch up to, I'm hoping it doesn't, but when does it catch up to Kansas City for a while that they are playing more games than anybody? And it's not even close. For seven straight years, they've made it to the Final Four.
When does it physically catch up to them?
Yeah,
because like, mentally, I think they know, but they're like, when you watch the way that Mahomes trains, when he's training, There is a certain purpose behind the way he trains.
Shows you got to have a little bit of a gut, you know, to play a long time.
Oh, man. Like Derek has trained with his trainer before, and they understand that process isn't the same thing every day. You're trying to get better on a different scale every day. But yeah, at some point it does start to catch up to your body. Has been beaten up longer than everybody else's, but they seem to have this. And maybe that's one of the reasons that Travis Kelce took it easy this year. During the regular season, most of the season, he ramped into something. But they still haven't figured out a passing game. So that's a big problem for them still. But this is, I think it's going to be a blast of a game, Kevin. But to be able to do it, like, it sounds like insurmountable odds to be able to overcome this.
So
nobody's ever done it.
And the comparison, of course, is to Tom Brady, at least for Patrick Mahomes, just because it feels like, look, you don't have to agree with me. I'm just saying it feels like Patrick Mahomes is on the trajectory to challenge Tom Brady for what most people think is the greatest football player of all time. So you look at the stretch that Tom Brady had from 2011 to 2018. Some people will throw out this nonsensical idea that the Patriots had like a 15 or 20 year dynasty. I think that's idiotic. They had two distinctly different runs. In the middle, they were good, But they were losing in the divisional round. Tom Brady got hurt that one year and everything like that. It takes like 5 years for it to really pick back up again. But then you see that with 2011. I believe they went to 8 straight conference championship games, if I have that right. And they won the Super Bowl 3 times.
That's that conversation when it comes to dynasties. Like,
yes,
the 3 straight would be something significant that would separate them from just the idea of dynasty. Because our idea of dynasty Cowboys, in 4 years, they were the most dominant team you could see. In that 4-year window, it was amazing. So that description of dynasty, I wonder how that would change with these, if they were able to do this.
And it's a great question, because what I'm fascinated by is the comp that immediately comes up is the Green Bay Packers. The Green Bay Packers won the first 2 Super Bowls, and they won the NFL championship the year before there was a Super Bowl. So, like, you kind of get into the semantics of, hey, this has never been done before. Or you can be like, yeah, but if we'd started it 1 year earlier, the Packers would have literally started off football Super Bowl history by running a three-peat. But the fact that here we are 50-plus years later and nobody else has done that makes it pretty damn impressive to me. Look, with all due respect to the NFC Championship game, I think there is a giant drop-off in my interest level. Even though it's 2 NFC East teams, it feels like the best of the best. And then also Philadelphia and Washington are playing. And there's lots of interesting subplots there, like the Jaden Daniels thing.
I'll tell
you
what, though, Kevin, if the Chiefs make it to the Super Bowl and lose to Washington, we'll just have to be like, that was the worst Super Bowl attending team ever because they lost to Washington.
I mean, look, and I'll feel really stupid going back if this is the beginning of Jaden Daniels taking over football. And I'm like, I don't know, that game doesn't look very interesting. And people will be like, oh, really? The best quarterback we've ever seen in his first conference championship game didn't seem interesting. Good call, moron.
Taking down what was like, the best quarterback.
Hey, I'm rubbing off on you, jabroni.
We're the KNC masterpiece right here on the 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, park around and find out. Let's talk Stars, Hurricanes, plus the quarter century team. Plus, are you interested in this record countdown? Next on the Fan.
His shot is blocked. Again, that was an even strength goal. Walker. Save. I'm sure it deflects in. I think it went off a Star defender.
I thought he thinks right on that one. 24 seconds later, so the Stars lose to Carolina 2-1. And I don't know, if this was the game that you took somebody to watch hockey for the very first time, they might not want to come back.
Oh, why?
Look, maybe I'm wrong, but through the first 2 periods, Dallas had 11 shots, and I believe Carolina had 13, and it was 1-0. So it felt like your nightmare variation of all the boring soccer games you've ever seen. And so then in the third quarter, and this was with Roope back and everything like that, in the third period, Thomas Harley scores about midway through.
Yeah.
Can we break the trend?
Let's go.
Because the Stars were losing going into the third period, 1-0. And guess what? When they trail after 2 periods, they're 0-13.
So they're not good when they're losing.
No, they are not. But then Thomas Harley scored, and you're like, hey, all right. And then the goal we just played happened 24 seconds later. So the enthusiasm that you get in your home arena when your team scores and the game
disappears,
is either in your favor or relatively close, is insane. And then they're not even really telling you. I don't even know if they got Thomas Harley's name in over the PA just yet before they're like, well, Carolina scored. And ooh, I know everyone's going to yell, who cares? But I do care, because in 24 seconds, you lost the tie that you had. And at no point did you have the lead. Nobody else scored any other goals. And you lose 2-1 to a damn fine Carolina team, I will admit.
Yeah, and wouldn't you say the next 3 teams, or 3 games you face are decent teams? You got the Knights, and then you got the Blues. You got the Knights twice, the Blues in there as well. Canucks, all right.
I haven't got time for the Blues.
Yeah, you know what, Mike? Good joke. So, like, this little stretch of not winning enough games is, like, you could say it's bad, Kevin.
Are you still laughing at your
He's
own joke,
at
Mike?
That joke so much, yeah, right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just making. Last night was Sweet Caroline.
Uh-huh.
But we've still, under DeBoer, we still never lost 3 in a row. So we're going to be
okay. Is that right?
I think so. I think
wow.
I think it's a reality.
All right. Well, look, I know the Knights are good, but you need to beat the Blues. And you're still within, look, I've said this a million times now. You're still sitting in a pretty good spot in the Central. And I mean relatively to how the season started. Because at the beginning of the season, it looked like Winnipeg was going to have, I don't know, like 120 points. And you had no opportunity to win the division. Right now, you're neck and neck with Minnesota. Now, you've got some ground to make up on Winnipeg. You also have a game in hand. That's why at least a point last night would have been really helpful. But if you can hold strong, I want 4 points out of these games that you said, at least 4 points. So you said host Vegas, at St. Louis, at Vegas. I want at least 4 points in that stretch.
All right.
And I really think with the schedule coming up after it, maybe you could start to make a move.
Yes, absolutely. Hold on. What kind of move?
A move up the Central.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about adding players. Oh,
look, we talked about this last week. Maybe it was 2 weeks ago. There is pretty much no player in the league that the Stars couldn't trade for from a salary cap perspective because they'll have the Sagan money available. That's not to say that every player will be available.
McGregor.
No, okay. Who is that?
Wait, is he the Oilers super great player?
Are you thinking of Connor McDavid?
Yeah.
You thought McGregor because of the Connor.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think McDavid just got suspended.
Who's the awesome player for the Avalanche?
For 3 days. Yeah. For three games.
Who's that guy's name? The Avalanche. He's like arguably the second best player in the sport.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can actually even at sometimes make an argument the first best. You tell me.
McGregor.
Hold on, you can't just say.
I don't know his name at all.
It is Mac.
Dikembe Mutombo.
It does have Mac in it.
McDavid.
Nope.
McDonald. I don't know.
McKinnon.
What's his first name?
David.
I really thought you were going to say Dikembe. It's Nathan. not Dikembe McKinnon.
They also have Scott Wedgwood.
Wedgwood 1. He used to be here, right? Yeah. He's our backup.
Yes.
I used to call him Wedgwood 2 in my head.
All of that is factually accurate. Thank you for that, I guess, Mike. So the point is, I don't know. The point is the Stars lose to Carolina, but still in good position relatively to the rest of the conference. But obviously, you still have to continue to watch Colorado. They're right on your heels. It is a very tightly packed top four in the Central. But let's talk about something else entirely hockey. Mike, if I said the last name Ovechkin.
Washington?
That's correct. Can you tell me his first name?
Alex.
That is correct.
I think it's Alec.
No, that's...
It's a better name.
I got scared, actually, when I said Alex. I'm like, crap, is it the C or the X guy?
So he is only 20 goals away from breaking Wayne Gretzky's mark for the most goals in the history of hockey.
I just want to point
is
something out.
Is this surprising news to you?
No, because I think I heard about this like two or three years ago. That he
could make a run.
Yeah, that he has, if he stays healthy, he has a chance to break Gretzky's record.
So I just want to throw this in real quick, Kevin. Gretzky has 204 power play goals. Ovechkin has 317. Flip it around, shorthanded. Gretzky has 73 shorthanded goals. Ovechkin has 5.
Just to show you who is clearly the superior player, it's obviously Wayne Gretzky, who didn't pad his stats with a whole bunch of power play goals.
Why do they care so much about hand size in hockey?
I don't think that's what shorthanded means. That's who you were getting at, right?
Yeah, because you can't grab the stick.
No, I get it.
As well.
So he's 20 goals.
That's an in reference
he's 20 goals away from surpassing the great one.
Yes.
And I think that's a really cool thing.
Absolutely.
Mike, what do you compare this to in other sports? Is it the rushing title? Is it the all-time? Because this is an all-time record. Is it all-time home runs record in baseball?
This is where it's tough to me, because I get why you would say all-time home runs in baseball. But this is only one of the two major components of hockey, at least offensively, to go along with the assist. So I think about it more of beating the single season home run record, which I know some people will probably get mad about. But here's the reason that I say that. Just to show, and I will argue this with anybody, of the four major sports, Wayne Gretzky is the best by further than any other sport. And to back that up, I'll throw this out to you. Do you know if Wayne Gretzky still would have scored zero goals in his entire career, he would have the most points in NHL history?
Yeah, he's got 1,254 more assists than Ovechkin. Like that, and I think that's the most in all those like highest point scorers.
Oh, yeah.
It's insane. He was the offense.
Exactly. And so if you took away every goal he ever scored, the assists that he had are more than any player has ever had goals and assists combined. That's amazing. But that being said, I do think it's really neat that Alex Ovechkin has been in the, is in this position to score this many goals. Because if you go back, what are we, like 15 years now? Maybe actually even more. Sidney Crosby and Alex Ovechkin were both hyped up so much. And they have both lived up to the hype. Like at a time where you're like, there's no way that maybe either one of them will be this good.
Crosby went ham with his assists for sure. Like his assists elevated and his goal scoring was down. But
Sidney Crosby's got more team success.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think that it's three cups of one, I believe. But like they've both had amazingly impressive careers.
And when it comes to points, Mike, that's goals, assists, 2,857 overall points. The next closest is Jaromir Jagr at 1,921. Almost 1,000 less points. And second place to the great one. And he played more games. He played 300 more games than Gretzky, almost.
Look, Wayne Gretzky is the best. If anybody ever surpasses him, I think that would be freaking amazing.
They can pass him in goals, but not necessarily the
in points.
The
it
other,
feels...
Yeah, that thing's going to be too far.
It feels impossible.
And I feel upset that I didn't really take advantage of watching that era, him.
Yeah.
Because then I don't have anything to compare it to.
If you have a 100-point season, people are like, oh, wow, yeah, you did a good job. You'd have to do that for more than 28 seasons to get to Wayne Gretzky. Because he put up some ridiculous point totals that you're like, how the hell is that even possible?
Yes.
And so that's why I think you'll never get caught. But believe it or not, one more hockey note for you. Did you ever think you would hear the excuse of, it's not my fault, it was the nachos?
Oh, no.
Okay. So this is what Logan Thompson, the goalie for the Capitals, said was the reason he gave up once what some people said was a soft goal. Somebody threw nachos on the ice. And so I guess he got distracted because as soon as he gives the goal up, he's like pointing to the nachos.
It's like, hey,
he's like, look, there's nachos on the ice.
Nachos. What am I supposed to do?
I can't stay focused with that. Do you think that should be a good reason why the goal should not have counted if there's nachos on the ice?
Yeah.
Because
it turns into a block, right? I mean, it goes back to the Velveeta block that you buy it from.
That's
like,
true.
Once you queso it up.
How fast do you think that process takes place?
Pretty fast if you put it on ice.
I think Mike's right. If it's just. Because just think about it. If it's just.
Think about
there
how cold
room,
you're. Yeah, you just have it on a paper plate. Let's just say you get to Super Bowl Sunday. Big game Sunday. Sorry.
That is big game Sunday.
No, this is not an advertisement. You can say the Super Bowl.
Don't find me.
Be careful.
Take your Rotel. You take your block of queso. Maybe throw in some extra green chilies, taco seasoning.
Maybe some hot sausage or something.
You can do a little. Yeah, I like what you're talking about. And so you put that on your plate.
Mm hmm.
You're watching the game. You're watching the commercials. You forget a little bit about your cheese over there.
You have a drink and you're talking.
Corey, I know that we've already put tomatoes in this cheese.
So Kevin's he's like, can you just adjust the cheese?
That's the biggest issue I have with
this. How quick did your cheese turn into like not gooey, not like, you know, liquidy?
As soon as I put it on the plate, a film started to form on top of it.
You're telling me I throw this on ice and you're saying, oh, it'll still be cheesy.
For like 4 seconds.
Yeah. This is ice we're talking about.
Yeah. I'm not even, don't suck me into this debate. The debate is whether the goal should have counted, not if the nacho cheese turned back into a block of frozen cheese.
Of course that's not a debate. That's fact.
Well, the Velveeta block isn't frozen, but it's solid.
Yeah.
All right.
More you so. Know it's what? Gonna, just, it's gonna affect the
it
goal.
Won't freeze immediately, but it'll block up.
It's gonna affect
for the purposes of speeding this along. Let's say I concede your point that yes, the cheese immediately turned back into a block of ice. Do you think that the goal should have been disallowed because the goalie was distracted by the nachos and the block of cheese on the ice?
Yeah.
I would ask the goalie, I would say, hey, were you distracted? Because if you were, we'll take away this goal.
I think there should just be a universal rule.
Just, you know, it's like golf or like that stupid commercial where the kid's like, hey, let's lose the basketball
game. It's a championship game. If you've never heard it,
this ref has stunk all game, and now you're going to go up to him and tell him you touched it last. Screw you, kid. Sit on the bench.
Our show started on the weekends in 2011. Within the first year, it was pretty early, we did a breakdown of how stupid that commercial is. And he's like, Coach, I touched it. We were going to blow it. It's a championship game. And then they're like, hey, it's never wrong to do the right thing. And you're like, fine. If you think you didn't get jobbed at all by any call in that entire game, maybe I'd listen to that. It's such an idiotic commercial. Whatever. Really, I don't even know how to wrap this up.
You really took this.
All right. Hey, let's talk about the Rangers next.
Yeah. Let's see how I can screw you up.
Baseball nuggets. Are we homering up the Rangers as being a great team in 2025 next?
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan right now. Time for Baseball Nuggets with Mike Bashek.
All right. So this is a couple weeks old, but it is MLB.com's inaugural 2025 power rankings.
Okay.
And this is where I go, gosh, am I too hyped up about the Rangers? Maybe am I too close to the Rangers? So that's why the tease was, am I or maybe are we here in the Metroplex homering up how great the Texas Rangers can be with their lineup and with their rotation? Because those do look, on paper, very good. MLB.com's power rankings say, stop dreaming, Bassick. This is an average to below average team.
Oh.
In the power rankings to start off the year, they have them ranked 16th.
Okay.
So on opening day, they open up against the 15th ranked. You know, this is all, it's all power rankings. It doesn't matter, but I think it gives you an idea of what, at least nationally or MLB.com, how they see these teams. The Red Sox are 15th and the Rangers are 16th and the Mariners are 17th.
Okay. So, and people might say this is still Homer. I'm just going to say, this is one source of information, but if you look at, like, a couple weeks ago, ESPN had the Rangers at 9th. The betting odds consistently to win the title have them around, like, 9 or 10 or 11.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's not great for MLB, but there are other data points that are like, oh, yeah, we think they're better than that.
So, Corey, do you feel like we or I are homering up too much these 2025 Texas Rangers? Because they are, at least on MLB.com, starting off as, at best, an average team.
Well, based on the last two seasons, averages balances out. Bad, yeah. Good, yeah. Average. So I don't think that's wrong. I think we know what the talent's capable of, so we are expecting more out of it. Like, I think we're expecting Corey Seager to have a great year and Semien to bounce back. So we're probably on the more positive side of it. There's still some things they need to correct. We'll talk more about Evan Carter and Wyatt Langford down the road. But, yeah, I think that maybe we are a little more excited than we need to be at the moment.
Okay, so who's ranked ahead of them? Now, I'm going to tell you, this article came out January 8th, so obviously it's approximately 2 weeks old.
Okay.
They have the Dodgers ranked number one, and that was before that they got Suzuki, before they got Tanner Scott, before they got Kirby Yates. So, look, I was looking at this before I go to other teams, and maybe I run out of time, but I was looking at their rotation. You can put them in whatever order you want, but start counting on your fingers the guys that we have here. Blake Snell, you have to remember they got him early in free agency. Yamamoto.
Okay.
Shohei Ohtani. Roki Suzuki, Tyler Glasnow, just to give you an idea, that's five. Tony Gosselin, Dustin May is supposedly going to be healthy and come back for the first time in his life. Like, it's amazing. He has 5 years of service time and has barely pitched in his career. I haven't named Clayton Kershaw yet. That would be number eight. So he's
a generational, and I know he's not at that point.
Right.
He's their eighth guy.
Yeah. If he can be healthy for them at any point, I think that he does do the Dane Dunning role and they can help out inning. Like, hey, we need, we got to watch Ohtani's innings this year coming back from Tommy John. He obviously is playing pretty much every day as our designated hitter. So they can be like on certain days, they can be like, all right, Ohtani's going to get the first four innings and then Clayton Kershaw is going to get innings 5 and 6. And then we'll turn it out. Then we'll turn it over to our three closers.
How absurd is that? Hey, you know how you got Dane Dunning? That's cool. That might be how we use Kershaw if we feel like it.
Or Dustin May.
Yeah.
Like, Dustin May's not going to be in the... Now, they do have to go to a six-man rotation. With three Japanese pitchers, they have to have a six-man rotation. That's when Ohtani was in L.A. That was when he was with the Angels, I should say. When he's with the Angels, they would say it is challenging when you have, at times, a Japanese pitcher in your rotation that you're trying to take care of and you're not going to go, hey, you're in the major leagues now, we do five-man rotation here.
Yeah.
Ohtani's obviously different, but then you have Yamamoto and Sasaki, so they're going to have a six-man rotation. So when I say they have eight, they literally have to go with a six-man rotation.
Yeah, I gotcha.
And we'll see how healthy Dustin May. I love him. He's from this Metroplex, but he has 5 years of service time with never being healthy for a season. And then you have Kershaw, who's at the end of his career, who you don't know what he can and can't do. But now I go back to the power rankings. The Dodgers, number one, and I think by far number one. Number two, the Phillies. Number three, the Yankees. Number four, the Mets. And number five, the Braves. What does that scream to you in the top five?
That's a lot of NL power right there.
Besides the Yankees. So this is good news for the Rangers. I think I've done this.
Feels
kind of
like the NFL right now, right? Yeah. Hey, you're in the weaker conference.
Yes. Number six, the Padres, another National League team.
Yeah.
Number seven, we get to the Orioles. They're going to be interesting. So you get to Yankees, Orioles as the two topped power ranked American League teams. They're in the same division. Only one of them can win the division. The other one would have to be a wild card team if they both make it. And it's just interesting is that they lost Corbin Burnes. They added Charlie Morton. That's a downgrade, even though I like Charlie Morton, and he's 40-ish. I can't remember. He's 40 or 41. Like, he's right there. So I just look at the Orioles adding, to me, nothing. They just lost Santander to the Blue Jays. Like, they're not getting him back. So they're getting worse. They're not getting better.
And by the way, I am teetering on the brink of not believing in postseason Baltimore anymore.
Mm.
I know it's only been 2 years, but haven't they not won a playoff game in those two appearances?
Yep. I mean, they didn't win against us.
Yeah, and so they didn't win against us, and they lost to Kansas City. And the year before, it looked like they might have the best team. I know they were super young, but so they come in, all the hype, nothing. Come in this year, nothing.
Yeah.
Or last year, nothing. So I'm kind of to the point where I wonder, like, I think Baltimore is going to make the playoffs, and then I think they're going to do nothing.
Yeah, I mean, I'll homer it up. If you go against Baltimore, I think offenses are comparable. I think they have a great offense. Mm. They did lose Santander. Like, that was their second best hitter last year. Gunnar Henderson, number one. Santander, number two. Adley Rutschman had a bad year last year.
Still a young offense, too.
That's for sure.
So I look at the Rangers, and if you have a healthy DeGrom and a healthy Eovaldi, if you make the playoffs, good luck.
Yeah.
Good luck with that 1-2 combination.
Yeah.
Now, hopefully the Rangers, to me, if you get into a bullpen battle, you know, that gets a little bit scary for me and the playoffs if it becomes a bullpen battle. But like my buddy said, who's a scout for the Phillies, I can't believe you guys are in the World Series with four pitchers.
Still remember
it's
that.
Fair.
Because he's like, you literally have Eovaldi, Montgomery, Spores, and Leclerc, and everybody else I have on my kind of scouting report as please put them in the game. Nothing against the other guys who pitched.
Right.
They did their job at times, but like that was the Philly scouting report is they have four pitchers on their team.
That's amazing.
Okay. Number eight, Diamondbacks. Number nine, come on, guys. But it is what it is. This is where maybe I'm homering it up too
Astros.
Much. Astros at number nine and number 10, the Brewers. So three out of the top 10 teams are National League. Three out of the top 10 teams are American League teams. Yankees, Orioles, and Astros are the only three American League teams. So this is a wide open American League. Then we get to kind of the Central. We get to 11, Tigers, then the Guardians, then they throw the Cubs in, Then we get to the Royals at 14. So those are the three American League Central teams just outside of the top 10, but now getting close to the Rangers. Then you have the Red Sox and Rangers. And then the Mariners are 17. The Twins are 18. What's interesting to me, and maybe I'm too high on them from where they're at. One, I think the Reds are just way underranked at 21.
Okay.
With getting Terry Francona. We saw the Bruce Bochy effect here. I think that there can be a major effect like that. And then here's the one that I don't get. The A's are at 24.
I think that's too low.
I think that's way too low. I know it sounds great.
Were they just throwing money around this offseason?
Don't count out the A's.
Or were these good additions?
I think they are good additions. Think of Jose Leclerc. He's going to be their sixth or seventh inning guy. They didn't sign Jose Leclerc to compete with Mason Miller. And I'm sorry, I'm drawing a blank on a couple of their setup guys.
Yeah.
Like, he's going to be their fourth bullpen piece.
Yeah.
When you have Jose Leclerc as your fourth bullpen piece, that's a nice bullpen. When you elevate him to your first or second bullpen piece, that becomes a very scary bullpen situation that you just might not have a lot of faith in. But the A's at 24, I think the A's, to be honest, should be kind of right around where the Rangers are ranked in this power rankings. I think the Rangers should be ranked higher.
Okay, but you think the A's should be like middle of the pack?
Yes. I'm out of time, but this power ranking thing just had me a little bit concerned that am I overhyping how good this Rangers team can be?
And you hate to say it, but the answer is maybe.
Yeah, we'll find out.
We're the KNC Masterpiece. Thank you for that. Right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's do some NFL overreaction or reality right here on The Fan.
Well, I hope you understand that it's cold outside. I think I'm stating a pretty factual thing here. Now, if your windows are letting in the cold because they kind of have leaky windows, they're not closing properly, or you have old windows and they're just not that good of a window anymore and you can feel the cold on those windows getting into your house, Best Buy Windows and Siding can help you out. Co-owner Dax Kirks, he's going to be able to help you out. It's going to cost you for 10 windows, $59.50. There's going to be zero down, zero financing with approved credit. It's going to be great for you. It's 469 Windows. Give them a call at 469 Windows. The website is bestbuywindowsandsiding.com. Guys, you can't afford it anymore. Let's stop the cold air getting in right now and stop the hot air from getting in the summertime. Bestbuywindowsandsiding.com or 469 Windows.